How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
It is another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge in Chicago for the lottery. We are taping this on Tuesday. We do not know where Victor Wembanyama is going. My man Marcus Thompson gaming, gutting it out. Sick, but still gutting it out in the Bay. And all the way across the pond, where it's 5 hours later than East Coast time, our man Bastion from Trash Talk. The only guy I wanted to have on to talk about Wemby, the day of the lottery. Bastion, thank you for jumping in, my man.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation again. Always a pleasure to talk basketball with you guys.
Dude, it's
are crazy. You hype or what? Are you excited?
It's a mix. It's hype. It's you're tired as hell because it's covering for so long, so many months.
Yeah.
Now it's coming, and the playoffs are until 7 in the morning in France. So when you pile up all those days, sometimes it's crazy, but it's definitely hype for tonight, man.
Man, it's got to be crazy. So the actual lottery is at 8 Eastern. So that's 2 in, what is that, 3 in the morning or 2 in the morning your time?
That's sweet 2 in the morning with coffee and then croissant and everything's fine after that.
Oh my God, dude, that's crazy. That's crazy. But no, everybody's going to be up. Everybody loves basketball. I know we'll be up for this. It's unbelievable. So, man, we haven't talked to you in a few months. Obviously, when we talked to you the last time, he was just starting the season with Metropolitans. Season, I think, ended yesterday, right? That was the last regular season game for them?
I mean, right now, he's playing. This last game is right now.
That's right now. Okay.
And then it's the playoffs.
So he averaged a double-double for the season, 21-10, putting up stupid numbers. And it's just, it's not even the numbers. Forget the numbers. It's just him. So you've seen him now for the full season with a team that really was willing to help him get ready for the NBA and do the things that he needed to get ready for the NBA. How do you think he got through the year?
I think it went well, knowing what happened the year before with Tony Parker's old team as well.
Yeah.
This was the project. I think something that Buna Ndiaye's agent said was the teams are not going to fit. He's not going to fit to the team. The teams are going to fit to him. So
The
project was to make sure that he had the right personnel around him. The right coach, Vincent Collet, the right players. I think he faced some up and downs, and you could see that this is not only, as we talked earlier on our part one, I would say, it's not only a physical phenomenon or a shooting or a technical phenomenon, it's the mindset.
Yeah.
So when he had a little bit of a down, he understood what was going on, and he didn't force anything, and he tried to let the game come to him. So I think overall it's a success. Now there's scales to this. It's not Luka Doncic type of success in Europe, but for his size and for the hype, I think it was a good season overall.
Was there at all any signs that this pending life-changing moment had any impact on his season? Or was he able to just kind of fully block that out?
Totally focused. That's the thing that really intrigued me the most is you could see the hype. We were all waiting for the moments where he showed a little bit of being 18, right after the Vegas games in October. But it didn't really come. I think the only moments were when, I would say in December, guys were playing more physical. Maybe. And he had a few moments where it was, I think I DM'd D about this. He had a few, what I would call Michael Porter Jr. type of adventure, which is, I'm going to stay out of all this, outside and not go inside. And then I think he realized that he's like 7'4". And he started to demolish.
Damn, I'm big.
yeah. And that clicked. And he never went into a fight or in arguments or anything that went, as you guys call it, TMZ moments. He's just absolutely locked in, focused, because he knew what was at hand. So it was a really smooth ride. The less smoother ride was more on the media side, because we didn't know what we were getting. But on the courts, I don't think there was a moment where I was like, oh, that's a warning sign, man.
Yeah. So how did, how, you know, Clay is one of the great coaches of all time. He obviously understood the assignment, right? So like what he was supposed to do this year. Was there ever a time where the other guys on the team were not cool with what was obviously a showcase for one guy all season?
I haven't been that up close to know this. I had some guys from the team who were on a daily basis with the team trying to figure out the relationship and everything. But I mean, it's more guys being in awe more than anything. Yeah. When you see that, I mean, it's previous teammates from Asvel and current teammates who know that their best chance to win is to feed him the ball. It's not that he's putting up numbers and they're like at the bottom of the standings. Yeah, like I think top three, top two.
Right, right.
So they knew that he was the main force, and I think it was the contrary. Like, I don't know if you saw the phenomenon, but there was a guy from the team. He had a funny like last name. I don't know what it was, but he got more hype than other guys because they get more exposure because of this. So I think it's more positive than anything.
Is there a
what's oh the God. I mean
is there a,
oh, go ahead,
sorry I was
is, no, go ahead.
Is there like a, you know, in America, like it's a big deal to be there with the commissioner, you know, family, green room and all that stuff. Was that a tough decision on his part? Is that not a big deal internationally to be, you know, a part of those festivities? Or playoffs are obviously pretty important, right? So how did that decision go about?
You mean to attend the draft? Or sorry, I didn't understand. What was it, the decision on what?
Yeah, to attend the draft, to, you know, the whole pomps and circumstance of it all.
Oh, that's a part of the business. He's business. So I think he knows that he has to take part in all this. And there are those questions about the end of the playoffs and the dates with all the hoopla and the draft. But the job is to be in the NBA. I mean, obviously he wants to be good to finish the season strong, but the ultimate goal remains to be in the NBA. And if it has to go through these phases and you have to cross those boxes, he's going to do them. He's not going to. That's what was said really early on by Buna right after Vegas, where people were like, ooh, he might be shut down, or guys might keep him out because of the skills and the size and everything in the body. But Buna said straight up, he's going to play. He's going to take part in all of this. He doesn't want to be he doesn't want to have some kind of advantage because of the other compared to the others. He wants to go the same way as others. And that's what was explained, I think, in the last few profiles that were published recently. It was that guy really appreciates that he was doing the same drills as the guards. He was doing the same things, had the same standards. He didn't have, like, I don't know how you call this, but, like, yeah, advantages. I don't know. It's the special treatment, right?
Yeah.
He didn't get any of this. And that's what I think he's that touted as a prospect. I remember just the guy with the funny last name is Steve OU Fats. I don't know if you heard about this guy.
Is that how you say it? OU?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's Steve OU Fats. I'll check it out, but I think he was one of his teammates. That's really his last name.
Yeah. So the H is silent. That's important in our culture.
Yeah. Right, oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
No, I'm not going to go this road. This is on you, Marcus.
Exactly.
Let me ask you one more question real quick. Bastian, I need you to be honest with us because, look, you're a member of the media. And you know it's all about us, right? our plights and our successes. How wrapped up are you and where Wimby ends up landing? Because that's going to significantly impact your life, right? Like, I figure you're going to spend a lot of time wherever he ends up. Do you have a favorite here?
I mean, I like East Coast because the games are earlier. So if I have to talk media-wise, I know it's more exposure, people watching more games. You guys know the drill with the media. More people watching the games, more everything. More readers, more retweets, more everything. So that's my personal preference. I want to see this. I know a lot of guys want to see like Portland or all this. I'm like
Washington, damn. Baby, DC.
I have a few favorites. I think fit wise, a lot of people want to see him in Indiana because of the whole Tyrese Haliburton and stuff. You want a point guard that can fit him the ball. You want a championship coach. That's it. And you're far from all the hype from the big cities. So that's cool. I want to go Charlotte. I want to go LaMelo and Wemby. I want to see how it goes. I want to see what it changes with the owners and everything. And so these are some of my favorites. But I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not dropping any bomb in here. But I wouldn't be surprised if anything doesn't go according to plan after a few years. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that guy, that talented, would be pushed by Buna and everything to ask for a trade. That guy is so good. He's not going to let you guys know the NBA more than me. There's a lot of randomness by the drafts. You guys, sometimes you end up in a situation you're like, damn, I didn't want to.
Yeah.
They're not going to let random things affect a guy so talented. I don't think so.
You know,
he didn't say San Antonio, DA.
No, I know.
You guys have any favorites?
The Riverwalk, baby. You know what I was fascinated by? And I'm not saying it's going to work. I just wonder how they would try to make it work is if he wound up with Dallas and Luka. Like,
That
wouldn't work. Right. I kind of don't think it would work.
They both need the ball, right?
Oh, they're going to turn him into Miles Turner, and I have just nightmares out of this. I don't want this.
I kind of figured that
would you guys have favorites for this lottery? Like, you think who's going to go one?
You mean in terms of where he should go?
Yeah. Fit.
I think Detroit would be very interesting. It's a very young team. But they do have some talent. They do have a very young point guard in Cade Cunningham, but he can be really good.
You know,
and they've got some interesting pieces like Duren and some of their other young guys. It would be a really young team. I don't know if he needs vets. I think most young guys could use some vets around them. But that's one team I'd be interested to see if that could work. You mentioned Portland. I think a lot of people in the States would love to see him with Dame just because the possibilities are so crazy. And people have a soft spot for Dame. People want Dame to be on a good team because he's just such a good player. You mentioned Indiana as well with Haliburton. Certainly that could be interesting. That could be very interesting together. Those are the teams. Orlando I'd be fascinated by Orlando if he wound up there, because I think Orlando's getting pretty close to being good. You know, their young guys are really coming on, and I don't know if it would be like, you'd make it work. I understand that, like, wherever he goes, the team's going to make it work. But I wonder how they would handle having him and Banchero and Markel. You know, there's a lot of mouths need to get fed, you know, for that to work. And somebody would have to take a back seat. I'm not sure that would happen. But from the talent standpoint, if he went to that team with that talent, they could be good. They could be good next year.
Marcus, you got any favorites?
Yeah, Orlando's my favorite. Is my favorite. I actually wouldn't mind him in Houston. But you know me, man. I'm from Oakland. I want to see Dame. So put him in Portland. Let's go. Give Dame somebody.
But you guys are not scared about the whole Sam Bowie, Greg Oden trifecta?
No.
We don't want
to
see it.
I mean, it does seem to be where big men go to die, figuratively, right? So, I mean, that has happened. Every guy of substance that's gone there the last it's happened. But I don't believe in stuff like jinxes and things like that.
I don't think they can handle or shoot like him, so it's all good.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right, so after this the season, like, all right, what is still the question mark for you in terms of making the adjustment to the NBA for him?
Well, who's going to be around him? I don't see any issues with him personally. I think my biggest question mark for the summer is, first, is he gonna go to the summer league? And if he does, is it on that type of stuff where he goes like one game shows out, and then boom, that's it. Not playing anymore.
Is that an autograph?
So what were you saying?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. So it's more summer league. Then we know we have the World Championship in September. So we cannot wait to see him with the French uniform. Then it's more like, how is he going to fit with the guys around him? Because I think he's easy to play with, but how is it gonna be on his franchise? Like, are they gonna be really like from day one? They're gonna give him the keys. That's the part that intrigues me the most, because about him, he speaks English well. He's easygoing. He's perfectly fine physically. Skills wise, it's okay. He just has to do the whole summer league and French national team stuff. But apart from this, I mean, we just want to know where we're going to be on opening night, because that's the only question mark that I have right now. And I try not to be, we talked about this in January. I try not to be too hyped, but it's the contrary. He's just calming everything down, because he doesn't give you that many points of curiosity, or, and I wouldn't say curiosity, of being in, really pessimistic, I would say. So, but do you guys have some stuff like you're thinking, oh, that I don't know if he can or he can't?
Well, in the NBA market, you always start with, who does he guard? That's the first thing everybody in the NBA, for anybody coming into the league, wants to know, who does this player guard tonight? Because you got to guard somebody in the NBA. And that's my question, is who does he guard? Does he guard fours? Does he guard fives? Does he, you know, he's got to guard with somebody, you know? So
yeah,
you can put him in drop coverage and hide him a little bit, but at some point, good teams put you in pick and rolls and you got to guard somebody. You got to be able to switch or guard somebody. I'm not saying he can't. That's just the question I have about him, is who does he guard night in and night out?
Yeah.
Mine is more centered on, like, I just believe in the value of veterans. And he's about to experience a life that just not that many players experience. I was just watching The Last Dance, right? Just thinking about how big the NBA has gotten and the whirlwind around him, and often the difference between making it and not even really making it, but just how easy the road is, how hard it is, has to do with what vets you got around you. Who do you have, who you can trust, who's giving you the game? And because everything he does will be center stage, spotlight. Like, I mean, we're looking at Ja Morant, not to say he's anything close to that, but we see what happens when you just don't have the OG with you. So to me, that's going to be a big deal. Who's the coach and who's the veterans? Does he have somebody who can protect him from stuff, who can show him the ropes? Like, because all that stuff matters when you're building a career. Because especially for him, like for most guys, it's not just basketball. Right. But for him, it definitely ain't going to be just basketball. It's going to be handling all the other stuff, which is why I feel like San Antonio might be a good spot, just because it ain't.
It would be a great spot. No, it'd be a great
spot.
But
I mean, Bastion, it won't be a great spot for you, though. I mean, you
won't
have a lot of fun. Why you hating on San Antonio, Mark?
Nah.
I'm just saying, is, you know, I want him to be able to kick it. You know, I want you to have a good time too.
There's some spots in the tone, man. There's some spots in the tone. You could have a nice glass of wine.
I hear you.
No, but I think DA to bounce on what you just said with Marcus. I think I get the whole veteran thing, and I agree, because you see those teams that are totally discombobulated when they don't have veterans. Shout out to my Rockets.
Exactly. That's why I'm not sure that would be a good spot for him.
Yeah, even with Ime Udoka, I don't believe so. But the defensive part is interesting. I think it's overall, we all have these debates in France where, like, we think he's going to start as a four. We wouldn't be surprised if he starts as a four. With a really like a really muscular five who does all the dirty work. That would be the ideal pairing to me. But really, really soon, people are going to realize you can play him four, you can play him five. Sometimes he's going to spot up at three. I don't know. I think he's going to be a four mixed with a five, and he can defend really in the perimeter and inside. But people are going to be like, oh, he's playing Embiid tonight, so or Jokic. When it's going to be big muscular guys, I think this is when the first slander is going to come. Like, you see, he cannot get the bumps and bruises and everything from the ABA. And we all going to have to be like, dude, he's 19, just give him some time. But exactly. This is going to be just the usual.
Yeah, I mean, if he can get up to, was he like 220 now?
Something like this.
If he gets up to, I mean, he could probably, I mean, he's not going to get up to 270, but if he could hold like 235, 240,
you can get he'd be 250.
Right. Yeah, he could be, he'd be
28,
fine.
250.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'd
give
be
him,
fine.
Give him a good 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
He's gonna follow the KD roadmap, not the Giannis.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
follow this. He's like, to me, he's like KG, not, you know, in terms of body size. I think he can be kind of a wiry, strong guy, but not a big banger. You know, he's not going to be that, but he'd be strong enough to hold his own in the paint. I mean, he's like, to me, Marcus, I don't know if you agree, he's like Evan Mobley to me. He's just taller, you know, like, and Evan Mobley's fine. You know, like he can guard, he guards fours very well. He was, you know, all defensive team. So I think he'll be fine. It's just, and there'll be nights where he, physically there's just guys that are just bigger than him, and those could be tough nights for him, but the tough nights for everybody, you know, like Jokic is a low for everybody. Shit, isn't that, you know, it's not like there's 10 guys in the league that can guard Jokic. There's like maybe one, maybe AD, and that's the only one, you know. So he's a matchup problem for everybody, so he should be fine. Where physically will you watch the lottery tonight?
So this is what we call the official couch in my flat. So basically, when we do the draft lottery, the trade deadline, and the draft and free agency, we do live shows from like, well, free agency, it's from midnight to 3 a.m, or for the draft, it's from 1 to 5, because we do the first round, sometimes we do the second. Passion, man. But so yeah, we stay on the couch, and I got Alex, who's doing most of the shows with me. We got the camera rolling, welcoming everyone on Twitch, and just we probably do a preview from like 1:30 to 2, and then at 2 is the start of the lottery, and then we just do a little debriefing of analysis of the results, because it's obviously in France we're waiting for the whole Wembanyama thing, but Jesus, there are some stuff tonight about the Mavericks who have to protect their picks, and Orlando with the Chicago Bull pick and all this. So right. there's a whole lot to digest from tonight. So we're going to be live, at, I think, for like an hour from like 1:30 to 2:30. And then when you think we have to go to sleep, Lakers Nuggets.
Right.
So we have to work until 5:30 in the morning. Just the usual.
Hey, you mentioned before the Olympic team. Do they have any clarity on Embiid yet?
No, I think the last news came up like a few weeks ago. I would say 2 weeks ago. Joel is getting married this summer. So I think the schedule is clear that in regards to the World Championship, he's not going to be with the French national team.
Okay.
But I think it's progressing, and the goal is still the same, is to be there for the Olympics in 14 months, and I think Joel wants to be there, and the staff is doing its maximum to make sure that everything is according to plan. But I think there's going to be a lot of silence for this summer because of the whole wedding and just what happened with the Sixers and everything.
Yeah,
you don't want to put too much sauce into this. So I think Embiid, everything is going to come back around autumn, like September, October, and then they're going to have to prepare the group for Paris 2024.
Who are the locks for the World Championship team? Who's definitely playing this summer?
Oh, I think Nick Batum is going to be there. I think some guys are going to come back. I'm pretty sure Evan Fournier had a tough year with the Knicks, but he's one of the locks.
He's a cornerstone guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see with some other guys, because I think you probably remember the great highlights of Nando De Colo with the Raptors or the Spurs.
Yeah, sure, sure. I remember Nando.
But he killed it in Europe. So he's one of the main guys as well. Thomas Hurtel, who was one of the killers a few years ago against Spain. I mean, it's a mix between all the new generation. We don't know about Frank Ntilikina. Some guys are going to come back from the same team, because Vincent Collet wants to have the same group with the continuity. The guys who beat Team USA in World Championship, I think He's 19.
Yeah.
So some of those guys, some names that you've heard of, like Vincent Poirier or Gershon Yabusele.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys, them boys are going to be back. And then we just have a question mark about Rudy.
Yeah.
It got a little bit into an argument last few weeks in France because he said he didn't know yet. But we'll see. He's been there the last few years, so if he needs a break, fine for him.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son Evan continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
What did you guys make of Rudy's season in Minnesota? Because over here it was like that was a disaster. That was horrible.
Yeah, it was tough. I think we saw it in two parts. The first part was, oh wow, the hype is incredible before the season, and we wanted to see that team. And then Cat got injured. It got really difficult, and yet he found his rhythm because he said he was really tired about the whole European basketball and the last season. So he was always there for French national team, and with all the seasons, it got a little bit into his rhythm. So I think when he started to find his flow, Minnesota found his as well. So Ant became an all-star because he was really the focal point, and Rudy did his thing. But I think where we all agree, or at least I would say most of us agree in France, is that I was really surprised when there was a press conference last year when he got introduced and they were like, oh, we're going to feed him the ball a little bit more on offense than he was in Utah. And I got scared because I love Rudy to death. He's an incredible defender, but that ball is a hot potato. Like it usually is. And that's not against him. It's just that he isn't as skilled.
No, it's against him. It's against him. It's cool. It's against him. It's all right.
It's a little bit of shade, but it's because we talked about this before and we're like, I'm not mad against players who want to develop their skills, right? But when you have Anthony Edwards and Mike Conley and all them boys and Colin Anthony Towns, you don't get the ball in the post. I'm sorry.
No.
You could be a really, really good Dikembe, or I don't care, Bill Russell or anything, but just leave the whole offensive point alone. Be the best teammate and rim protector and defender you can be. And I guess it's not enough for him. So we'll see later on. But I wouldn't mind if he's just getting relaxed the whole summer, because physically he looks absolutely gassed at the end of the season.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I mean, it wasn't a good year, point blank. It just was not a good season for him there. It didn't work.
It's a bad fit. It's just
I just don't think him and Karl Anthony Towns are a good fit. You know, I just... For a Cat to be at his best, he has to be kind of a inside-outside player. He has to do both. Like, you can't – like, he can make the three, he can shoot the three. That's fine. But he's got a good post game.
You know what I mean? And his postgame's better than Rudy's postgame. So, like, why wouldn't you utilize that if you got it? So I just don't think it's a good fit. You need a floor spacer, a real spacing four who's going to take a ton of threes and be a, like the guy that's in Houston that they drafted, Smith, would be, I think, ideal with Rudy. A guy that's going to shoot a lot of threes, and that's what he does, and he's good at it, you know, and keep that floor spacing more pristine. I just don't think he and Cat work together. Now, they found some workarounds that sort of did okay for parts of the season, but if you're trying to win something, I don't know that group is going to work together. And plus, Ant's got to have the ball so much, you know?
You think Towns is a five?
I mean, he's like five-ish, right? Like, you don't want to make – I mean, Marcus, jump in any time. I just don't think – like, you don't want to make a living with him in the hole. You know, like, that's not – he's great facing up and shooting, so you want to take advantage of that too. Like, he's a stretch five. Does that make sense? I think he's a stretch five.
I would call him a stretch five. The problem is if you put him at four, I mean, there's only a very particular five that could be next to him, right? Like, you can't – like, it really limits the options. At least if he's five, you can spread the floor, you can run it. Like, that might be their best option. It just – it doesn't fit with the five. They need to be interchangeable. Like, if he's four, like you said, D.A., you need somebody who can go out when he's in and in when he's out. Right. But when he's in posting, like, Rudy's like, yo, you're my backyard, man. What you doing? And, you know, I feel like Rudy – I agree with you 1,000%, by the way. He just needs to get out of his head this idea of giving me the ball. Like, it's not like, right. Just stop it. It's right. Over. Nobody's posting you up. Nobody's dumping you. Don't get mad. Don't get your feelings about it. Just go get some rebounds. If he played that way, I got a perfect spot for him. The place that needs him desperately. He can go play with Steph and Clay.
You are Golden State Warriors.
I mean, they need a rim protector badly.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But he ain't getting the rock. Like, nobody's dumping the ball on us. You know, Bastion, you know who I want to ask you about? Where's my guy TLC? He didn't play much in Atlanta. Is he going to be on the French national team? Luwawu Cabarrot?
Oh, TLC. Maybe he was there because he's good at stretching and defending. He was there in the Olympic finals. Prince Simius, I think he's a starter. Or he was probably a backup, but he was there. He's good. He's good. I like him, man.
I'm surprised he isn't getting more action in the NBA.
Yeah, he came back to Europe. I think it was a good move. When you see that Frank Ntilikina, for example, stayed. I think the right move was for TLC to come back home. He's good. Just like Gershon Yabusele, he found his spot with Madrid. He was really good. So I hope TLC is going to be there. We don't have a whole lot of 3&Ds in France. We have a lot inside. And we just wish that TLC is going to be there. But I'll keep you guys updated. I think it's going to be set up in the middle of, like, July. We'll see some more.
Yeah. It's – I think – I mean, you tell me. It seems to me like the – it's already taken off in France. And whether Wembanyama plays ultimately, and he will, I'm sure, at some point. But the growth of the game in France in the last 5 years, forget the last 10, it's just astronomical. Like, it's exponential. Like, it just seems like it's really taken off. And I know Mbappe is Mbappe. I'm not comparing anything to Mbappe, believe me. But is basketball like a solid number two now in France?
I wouldn't say number two because I wish we could say that. I think France is still entrenched in some sports that are really, like, deep core in their values, because basketball is still an American sport. Even if it's developed, the best league is from 1 to 7 in the morning. So it's kind of difficult to get all that hype. You're absolutely correct on the fact that it just boomed and exploded in the last few years. So many effects because we had what we called the four wave. We had, like, Bein Sports, who was the official broadcaster of the NBA that came back in 2012. And so we had a real show and real TV show to show the NBA. NBA 2K absolutely killed it. The best video game in Europe, I don't know the US, but the best sports video game for a whole decade was a basketball game.
It's number one in the world. It's the number one video game in the world. Yeah, sports video game. Yeah.
Then we had like some national team results, and then you had some Curry effect on this, on the Westbrook effect on this. I think as long as it's an American sport, it's going to be tough. I always say, sorry, F it, because we have to watch the games from 1 to 7. But I think it's, so you got soccer, then you got rugby. So it's like not the American football. We got this. Yeah, right, I think right. It's the same second.
Okay.
And then it depends. I think in collective basketball, it's third, I would say, second or third. But it's on the come up, because maybe in like, I don't know, I think 2024 is going to be too soon. But we had a debate about who's going to hold the flag for the Olympics. You know, it's a huge responsibility. So we thought maybe it was going to be someone, maybe for us, it's probably going to be Teddy Riner, who's like doing judo.
Sure, sure. Okay.
But maybe in a few years, it's going to be Wembanyama. And that's how you get more recognition and more everything. But we are waiting for our moment for the national team. We haven't had like a big world championship or Olympic medal, like a huge gold medal. When that happens, yeah, it's going to really explode. But as of right now, it's on the come up. It's on the come up, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, don't sleep on Dominique Malanga. Let's go. 16-year-old woman star.
You're dropping names. But the thing is, Wemby is good, but we're going to have probably 1 or 2 years, maybe with not guys that hype. But watch out for the 2027, 28. Them boys are really good. And these are the sons of old basketball players. So there are some names that are going to come back. They're going to be like, oh, I remember they played in 2000 in Sydney against the U.S. So that's going to be like this.
Right.
I had a question for y'all, though.
Yep.
You've covered a whole lot of lotteries. Do you remember a moment where, for you guys, really come to your mind where the lottery was everyone was waiting to see who was number one? What was the last time for you guys?
LeBron.
Zion Williamson.
Oh, Zion. Yeah, Zion was the last one. You're right. Zion was the last.
Was it really that big in the U.S. for Zion? Because I know friends were like, oh, the hype is real, but there are some really good dudes behind him.
No, because he was pushed so hard by ESPN that year.
And he was a high school phenom. Yeah, yes, that's the thing. Yeah, he was a viral sensation.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was AD, though. I think Anthony Davis was pretty big, or was not
it
that
It was big, but not like that. Not like Zion.
Not like that. Yeah,
not like Zion. Not like LeBron. I mean, LeBron was just, you know. Yeah, I've told that story many times about LeBron was, when he was 15, was people would have taken him number one. You know what I mean? When he was a sophomore in high school. Like, so LeBron to me was, in my time, the all-time hype. Shaq was big in 92. That was big, big. But nothing like, I think, Zion, and nothing like LeBron. This is by far the biggest since then. People just can't believe when they get the highlights that they show of Victor just doing crazy shit. Like I saw one today, Marcus, where he was on the wing. He is about 14 feet from the wing, and he takes 2 dribbles between his legs, and he spins and he dunks it. He covered that much ground. Like, he covers 14 feet of ground in one step and dunks on dude. It's unbelievable. Like, never seen anything like this guy ever.
I'm trying to think of who were the bigger. Oh, you know who was hyped like this, Sebastian, when I think about it? You know who was big like Wimby? Anthony Bennett. Remember when he went number one out of UNLV? Oh, my bad. I'm sick. Yeah,
Oh, wow. That's low.
He leaned in and everything.
When Bargnani went number one in
2000. Nah, yeah. I think that the hype really, I don't know if it's like this. I don't know if it's a social thing with the U.S. against France or between France and the U.S., but there is sometimes that moment where you have someone that's really hyped, and at some point, because the media is doing too much, people are getting scared that maybe the hype is too much. Do you guys have this as well, or is it more like an American way of, nah, he's good, he's hype, let's go?
I mean, I think with women,
the haters come out, right?
Yeah, sure. There's people that hate Steph. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're like, why do you hate somebody who's as good at his job as Steph Curry is? Like, that makes no sense to me. Like, but yeah, there'll be some of that. But I think most people feel like, plug and play, man. We'll figure out the position.
I think it'll show up, like you said, when, like, he has a rough game. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, yo, he's 19. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when it'll be like, yeah. That's when the talking heads will be like, I told you he was overrated. And all that, right? Like, that's, to me, that's when the hype will backfire most. Like, if he goes out and he's like 3-for-12 in his first game, which would be the most natural thing of all time, considering what's gone into it, right? People, I think that's where he'll experience it most, more than now. It's like, the NBA is promoting him. Like, he has his own channel on League Pass. Like,
yeah, I saw that he was the top 10 most viewed guy on the social networks without playing 1 second in the NBA this year. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, this is legit, man. I have never seen anything like this in quite a while, where people are just so hyped for a guy because he's just doing stuff that we haven't seen a guy his size ever do, ever.
What I really hope for you guys is to have a good seat the first time you guys are going to see him, because I haven't seen as many players that you get as you guys had. And DA, you've seen so many players from up close and interviewed them on the court and everything. But I've seen some guys play. I'll remember the first time. I'll tell Mike it's the first time I saw that guy, because this was more than basketball. You were more like, is this guy from our? Is he from our species? Like, is he like us? That's the biggest moment. I think you guys are going to see him like early on.
Oh yeah, no. We'll be there opening night. We'll be. I plan to be at his first game.
LeBron.
Right.
That's how I felt with Bron. Like that dude. Like, seeing him up close, it just felt like, yo, why is he so fast? This doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
This is fake.
Right. This is AI. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like. Like, come on, man. He's huge. And then he's like running so fast. It's like unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. Up close. You got to be up close to really get the sense of how big
Marcus, I don't even remember what LeBron did in his first game. It was in Sacramento. Oh, I remember that.
In Sacramento.
I was there. In Sacramento. I don't think he had like a particularly great game. Oh, yeah, but nobody cared.
He had like 20.
Yeah, oh, nobody 20, cared. Yeah. Like,
You had your typical 25-7-7 from LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, everybody,
you know,
was like, yeah.
Like, work, you feel me?
Yeah, he's that good. He's that good. So, man, look, this is going to be unbelievable. We can't wait. Tonight is, as I said, somebody's life is going to change tonight. Somebody's life is going to change tonight. It's not
Victor's life is about to change.
Yeah,
and you're spending all that time in San Antonio.
Right.
And you said it, DA, on your tweets. I think it's pro. It's not one life. It's so many lives. Because
lives, exactly. Because
I think, to give you an idea, there are some finance and economics magazines who are trying to as well interview me and us, because all this, how much impact is he going to have on the financial standpoint of a franchise? Like, all those numbers that pop up about, like, he's going to put the growth like times three, four. Sure.
Yeah.
This is something I don't really pray, but when I do, I hope that he's going to be like really, he's not going to have any issues physically, because as long as he's on the floor, I told you, DA, I told you, Marcus, he can decide whether he can be like an absolute game league changer defensively, and he can do the same on offense. So just the rest is in his hands.
You know who he reminds me of? I've been thinking about this. Maybe he's basketball's Shohei Ohtani. Maybe that's who he is.
So enlighten me, because I don't know who the hell this is.
Okay, so Shohei Ohtani plays for the Angels.
Greatest baseball player of all time.
Yeah. So this dude mashes. He hits the ball 400, 500 feet, and he pitches. And so he's the best hitter in the league, and he's one of the two or three best pitchers in the league. Like, we've never seen this before. Yeah. Like, he can literally do everything. And most guys have to choose when they come to the major leagues. You have to choose whether you're going to be a great pitcher or you're going to be a great hitter. You don't get to do both. He's doing both. He's just like, F it. I'm just going to do both. I'm that good. And I give me the ball and I strike 12 guys out. And then I hit three bombs every night. That's what he does, you know? So I think that to me is maybe where Wembanyama's comp is. Like you mentioned, he can dominate both ends of the floor. And there's very few guys that really dominate both ends of the floor. And if he can do that, then that's, to me, that's who he is. Maybe he's Ohtani. He's just
man, forget him. I care about Bash's life. I mean, look, you blow up, man. He gonna be good. He gonna sign $100 million shoe deal.
We want the best result for you.
Cheese and all kind of stuff, Chrisant. I want you to win. Let's go. It's time. This is your time. You feel me? You get draft lottery tonight. Let's go. Your life about to change. I want to see a book and everything.
Right?
All that. Give me all that.
We got everything covered, man. It's good for us. You always look for some tornado in your wherever you work, in whatever field you work in. You are expecting and wishing that there is some kind of tornado like this. We saw it with Tony Parker, who was really good, but it wasn't that hype. It wasn't that big. We know that there is a corner, but it's a double corner because of the Olympics, because we know that when something happens with national team, it just explodes. So, I mean, I'm just crossing my fingers, Marcus. I hope it's going to just turn everything into gold. But I'm already really feeling blessed and glad to cover an athlete like this, because you wish once in your life to be in a country where basketball is growing. And as soon as I'm in my 30s, so I'm in the right prime to just cover this guy, having the energy to just stay up nights and go there back and forth, follow his path. And there are going to be some young kids following this guy and just becoming great basketball players, and going to be like, yeah, I decided to become a basketball player because of this dude. So
yeah,
fingers crossed.
Man, it's going to be great. I can't wait for this tonight. I just can't wait to see what happens. It's trashtalk.co. On Twitter, it's trashtalk_FR. My man, Bastion. Our man, Bastion, man. Thank you for joining us, Broheem.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you so much.
Hope it works out well with you. Absolutely. Now, y'all leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast. Marcus, thank you for toughening it out today, my brother. If they can't leave 5 stars, what they need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters. We're going to make you have to guard Wembanyama. Real life.
All over the post. Oh, everywhere. 94 feet.
If he scores, you die.
We're out.